Welcome to the service of the First Unitarian Universalist Society in New Haven. For about the first century and a quarter of our existence, we were the First Universalist Society. I've been doing some reading recently about Universalism, and it turns out that by nature, Universalists seem to be somewhat more resistant and cantankerous in relation to the mainstream. This could still be, we still could have a hangover of this. So the theme of the service today is From iChurch to the Beloved Community. It's based on an article that was in the UU World recently. And iChurch means a church in which excessive individualism was preventing a kind of development of a communal process that would be creative. It's important to realize that we're not critiquing or dismissing individuality. Individuality we have in abundance, and this is rich and wonderful. Individualism is where one person decides that they just are going to take their marbles and go home because you can't agree about anything, you can't move ahead. So that's sort of the idea of what we're talking about. The opening words are from Kathleen Dean Moore. Individualism means humans are essentially rights holders, fully separate from one another and always in conflict or competition with each other. Even though we are born into a family, and the first thing we do is seek out another human. So we have a couple of readings that are taken from the article. It was in the UU World. We have the first one now.
We can weather the coming demographic challenges and, in meeting the 21st century needs, sustain Unitarian Universalism for generations to come. Fundamental to our survival is a paradigm shift that goes deep into the history, character, and epistemology of Unitarian Universalism. It goes to the essence of how we understand ourselves and relate to the world at large. First, we are being held back by a pervasive and disruptive commitment to individualism. Second, we cling to a Unitarian Universalist exceptionalism that is often insulting to others and undermines our good news. Third, we refuse to acknowledge and treat our allergy to authority and power, though all the symptoms compromise a healthy future. These three organizing and corrupting narratives have shaped the dominant story we tell about Unitarian Universalism. Reorienting ourselves will be hard, but profoundly rewarding. I call this change moving from our church to Beloved Community.
Now, I have given Thierry a title here, which is not her title, so...
Oh, no, this will work.
Okay,
it's fine. Good. Okay. When I came to this society, I was absolutely thrilled to find out that this was the society in which I could be myself and was expected to be myself. And to believe what I believed and not to pretend to believe anything I didn't believe. And since I was coming from the Roman Catholic Church, I thought that was swell. I did notice, as time went on, that there were some things about the society I felt that were kind of strange. In a conversation with John Lance, I discovered that there's a tendency, occasionally in Unitarian Universalism, when you say the God within, to be talking as if each of us had our own God, as opposed to being able to tap into the well of common being. the place where the self and the universe are one. And I thought that, first of all, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, I am not a goddess. Gay, I admit, is. But, and also, I couldn't see the point. I mean, we gather together. A church is a communal experience. That's a communal institution. We come here to find something bigger than ourselves, hopefully. As far as Unitarian Universalist exceptionalism, I have to guess at what Mr. Muir means, because he really didn't. The article in the UU World is kind of like lecture notes. But I do know that Unitarian Universalists tend to talk about themselves as if, well, we are light unto the nations and different from all other religions. And, well, in a sense, we are. We are different. On the other hand, we have a great deal in common with an enormous lot of denominations. And it would be nice if we could recognize it. As a former Catholic, I found that I could no longer make fun of the Catholic Church, because people would agree with me for all the wrong reasons. And I had to go looking for other Catholics, you know, who'd get the joke. And I found it was my belief that this kind of isolation is bad for the denomination. That that we have to have a greater experience of other religious organizations, and particularly in working with other organizations to accomplish things. And I think that this would be very, very beneficial in treating this problem of insularity. Now, as to our problem with authority and power, yes, we have a problem with the whole concept of authority and power. And this is difficult, you know, because we also have a commitment to democracy, and those two things, they're in conflict. The only way you can change something is to have the power to change something. That's what power is. It means the ability to do work. In our own society, we have an awful tendency to butt heads, to distrust each other. For once, we are finally something interesting and creative is happening with the children. I'm so psyched about it. I do know that when Bob was trying to put together a children's program, there was a certain amount of reaction from parents as if he was going to baptize their kids or something. No, like, as if they didn't know us. And we found that off-putting. There is also the fact that it's very hard for the denomination, the UUA, to actually do something as a group. The UUA, it's an association of congregations. They have no authority over us. And I mean, this is a holdover from the Puritans, congregational structure. The congregation is the church. But one of the things that happens is that whenever the UUA tries to do anything, a lot of us, me for example, react as if, oh my God, you know, before you know it, we'll have a pope. Which is funny, that's a very Puritan reaction. And yes, I know, there's a tendency in all institutions to centralize power, you know, and you have to be aware of that. But, on the other hand, sometimes when these things are not spelled out, you will find that the only person who gets something done is the person who ignores protocol. I'm actually thinking of Siegfried here. And sees that the historical moment. And I think we have to think about if that's the way we want to do things. There you have it.
Beautiful. Okay, let's go on to another reading.
By Shirley Strong. I understand the term beloved community to mean an inclusive, interrelated society based on love, compassion, responsibility, shared power, and respect for all people, places, and things. A society that radically transforms individuals and restructures institutions. And then a healthy future. Large numbers of Americans are hankering for experiential faith, whereby they can connect with God, the divine, or wonder, as well as with their neighbors, and that lead to a more profound sense of meaning in the world. 12 years into a new century, knowing that a storm of social transformation is coming, we are in danger if we continue with the story of iChurch. But that story is over. It won't take us where we must go. What we need for a healthy future is the beloved community, a community of justice inside and beyond our congregations.
So I would say that in this congregation, most of us do not believe in God in any conventional sense, whatever that might be. But I hear in Mahalia Jackson singing a great longing and a great love for the community. Praying somehow to a greater life, please see my people through, for we are under great duress. So longing for one's people to come through, don't you feel this? Can our species endure? Can the Americans endure? The people to which we especially belong? Do you feel any attachment, any affection for those folks driven half crazy by speed and progress? They are us. Having a care for the community and for our particular spiritual home here at the UU, the local vehicle through which the community becomes concrete, real, carnal, community in the flesh. Voila! Spirituality claims that there is something to which I can be loyal, come what may. This something is the center and core around which a meaningful life can take shape. But spirituality alone does not necessarily lead to incarnation and concrete commitment. Religion is the expression of my ultimate loyalty through particular communal and institutional arrangements. I mean, we do have a religion here, even though it's a little different. So I wonder, can you use touch the level of feeling that we heard in this song by Mahalia Jackson? The vital pulse of people struggling for daily bread and longing for spiritual renewal and relief. Is there a source? Is our human being grounded? If God is not above, is it possible that he or she is somehow in the depths? Standing with naked feet upon the earth, do you feel something that sustains us, that sustains our community? Is there that to which we can give our deepest loyalty? Josiah Royce, the American philosopher who influenced Martin Luther King and who's mentioned in this article also, proposed world loyalty, service to the whole of life, beloved community. The term beloved community actually goes back to Royce. And when King was at Harvard, there were some other students studying Royce, and they brought him up to speed about this. And he used it quite a bit, the phrase. Well, I myself have always felt a longing for a spiritual home, to be part of a people, looking for shelter, looking for refuge. Some people seem secure in their lovely houses, fuel-efficient cars, attractive and competent families, and professional status. It seems like they really don't feel a need for shelter. Some of us have received the gift of despair. Some of us have known failure, and so we may feel this a little bit more. St. Paul said, "You are members one of another." I believe this is a fundamental insight into the nature of human beings in general, not just the Christians in their congregations. We are embedded in the social before we emerge as individuals. Josiah Royce, like Jean-Paul Sartre, believed that people find their individual selfhood and identity through a personal project. Except Royce preferred to call it a cause. For Royce, what gives life coherence, order, and purpose is inherent in the whole frame of reality. It is not an arbitrary, totally undetermined choice of the isolated ego. The cause must exist as a social reality, or at least as the vision of such a reality, before the individual can make it her own. So we humans are but a part of the larger creative processes of Earth and the universe. Individuality comes from embracing a cause, but the various possible causes reshape human and natural orders that exist in their own right. So you don't have this split between, you know, being and nothingness. Ultimately, it is through our loyalties that we are profoundly grounded in a meaningful and meaning-friendly universe. Whereas for Sartre, and in some very real sense for the modern world, the universe is essentially meaningless. It's just a bunch of raw materials that we can create something out of. The idea of the beloved community also implies a hope for the coming of a world community. In each locale, people will be loyal to their place in a wholesome and healthy provincialism. Royce actually has an article called Provincialism, and there's no sarcastic, ironic edge where he's, you know, you're just supposed to understand provincialism bad, get rid of it. It's really kind of interesting that he would sort of anticipate bioregionalism by giving this positive a connotation of the word provincialism. But the local loyalties will not be at odds with world loyalty. Rather, people will express their world loyalty through their local loyalties. And loyalty here on Earth will be supported by the universe itself as the ultimate community. So this takes you sort of close to Thomas Berry in the sense of that the whole universe is, we now have a story of the whole universe in which we can find ourselves. Royce sets forth as the wellspring of meaning for the individual, service to the whole of life. You are not your own, you are bought with a price. These words of St. Paul ring true for both Royce and King. I am not by nature lost in space. There is a place for me in the emergent order of a civilization based on world loyalty. I am called by life to discover that place, called to specific commitments as an individual, this means. Everybody's not going to be the same. It's not like Hitler, you know, everybody marching. This is not the same, however, as inventing yourself from scratch. Hearing the call of being, we each develop an individual expression of loyalty to this world. We do not try to develop a loyalty to something above or outside the world. Renouncing escapism, we can embrace the processes of time in which world community will emerge. Today we are in the midst of a world crisis. 3,000 years of disciplines and repetitive practices in the religions have been organized mostly in terms of getting out of the world, being above it all, belonging elsewhere, yonder, advocating even contempt of this world. Is that a phrase you're familiar with? But contempt for this world provided a kind of tacit support for the domination and exploitation of the earth and has brought us to the point of having used everything up. In other words, the hermits out in the desert really weren't into, you know, progress and making more and more stuff, but by devaluing the world, they created a sort of spiritual atmosphere in which doing just that became possible. Loyalty to higher things and loyalty to human groups that claim to be ultimate, classes, nations, religions, has brought us to the brink of a great catastrophe. But this event, which is coming toward us from the future, is not an inarticulate roar. It's not like that, you know, meteor that just came down. That was sort of like a voice from beyond. But this event, this catastrophe, which is coming to us from the future, I believe, is not an inarticulate roar. And therefore, like Job, hearing the voice of God out of the whirlwind, it is possible today for us to discern the call of being, the demand on us for an ultimate commitment, world loyalty, in the catastrophe itself. Service to the whole of life is now the only way left. It is the road not taken, which lies open before us. It is a profound source of meaning and purpose, which is given to us as the great new possibility arising before us out of the very nature of things. Furthermore, it is a path discerned and indicated from afar by our universalist forebears. Little known fact. I just did a little reading on universalism, and I was very pleasantly surprised to find that I resonated much more, or let's say that some of the themes that I have put forth, I was finding in universalism. Wow, who knew, you know? I thought I made that all up, you know? So as UUs, we are uniquely positioned to lead the way toward world loyalty and beloved community. Our congregation can become itself an expression of beloved community. And if our local community dedicates itself to world loyalty, earth loyalty, then we will find voice to sound the call which the world needs to hear. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, for the earth. This is a tremendous reversal. We have seen the earth as just something that happened to be there that was incidental to our concerns. And what we're saying now is, no, the earth needs to become like this other being that we have, a conscious relationship. It's for us to adapt to the earth. We hear the approach of world catastrophe like distant thunder. We must become servants in the creation of a new order which will emerge out of the ruins of a used-up world. Beloved community here and now is the means of our own fulfillment, the ultimate satisfaction of being alive in this era. Loyalty to the earth and to the human world expressed through our concrete participation in beloved community will be the way we participate in a new creation which must happen now and in the near future. We have occupied the whole planet and located pretty much all of the minerals. The old way of endless extraction and exploitation is exhausted. It is finished. Let the creative power of the universe incarnate in the living earth move through us all as we make new arrangements for living, as we groan together with the earth in the birth of the beloved community in which humans will come home as worldlings, as residents on the earth, as servants of the whole of life. Mm-hmm. And our closing words are from Aldous Huxley. Give us this day our daily faith, but deliver us, O God, from belief.